Hey, this is Adam Richman from Food Network UK, and you are feasting your ears on the Hotspur podcast. Come on, you Spurs.
Yeah, well, welcome to a brand new Hot Spurs podcast. It is Monday, the 19th of August, 2019. Obviously, haven't done a show for a year. Colin, my dear friend, is Northern Ireland. His son is doing fantastically well, playing for Rangers under 23s, I guess. About to break into the first team, I'm sure. Doing very, very well. Colin is brilliant on Twitter. We chat regularly, but he's too busy to do this. Some may say he's too important to do this. I probably would agree with him, actually. Unfortunately, it's just me with my thoughts. Going to try and do a few more of these this season, considering I only did one last year. But I have been on other podcasts, in particular the eSpurs podcast. Good guys over there. It's just a football show, really. No one trying to be clever. No one trying to be funny or anything. But just good Spurs fans trying to chat about their favourite things. So what I'll do is just chat about a few things here about recent events. Obviously, we had the Man City game at the weekend. The biggest talking point being the Man City goal at the end. Just seeing the latest comments. I mean, you know, as soon as the game finished, everybody who wasn't a Spurs fan was saying, how on earth, you know, was that goal disallowed? Just looking here on Sky, they do Dermot Gallagher looks at the games on a Monday and he decides what he thinks. And he said, the decision was correct. It says, as much as people debate, yes, it is the right decision because you see that it strikes Laporte's arm. You know, the question, everybody's looking at this handball rule. And I have actually always said that, you know, let's not do an interpretation. Let's make it black and white. If it hits the arm, then it is handball. I've always said that. It's not just because of the weekend's events. It's I've always said that. You know, when the ball strikes the arm, it's an advantage to the team that the player that struck his arm, and intentional or not, it's then an advantage. Now, obviously, with Sissoko, when it hit his arm in the Champions League final, you know, as infuriating as it is, and you know, you're surrounded by Spurs fans going, you know, he had no chance to take his arm out of the way, or he was just pointing it, and it was completely unintentional. You can see it. He's looking, he's pointing for someone to mark up, and it hits him on the arm. Me sitting there going, oh God, no, that is handball, because the ball has hit him on the arm, and that's just the way it is. And I think that's a good rule, because it just makes it black and white, and there isn't that whole isn't it intentional or whatever. And I'll move on to some of the whys and wherefores in just a second. You know, in terms of the people are saying that if Skip would have handballed it, it wouldn't have been given. Because if you're defending and it hits your arm unintentionally, then it isn't given. But how do you know it's unintentional? You know, I think if the guy blasts it from 5 feet away and it hits the arm, then yeah, you know, you can't move your arm out of the way. But if it's coming from the corner, which is what happened, the ball came all the way over from the corner, Laporte's gone to head it, he's actually missed it with his head, and it's hit him on the arm, and then obviously they've scored. The thing is it intentional or not? It's not intentional in terms of I'm going to whack this on with my arm, but because he's missed it with his head, you can't then say, oh, it's unintentional, that it's hit him on the arm. Well, that's just unlucky, isn't it? That's just bad luck or not good enough. You're not good enough to head it. It's hit you on the arm and it's gone through to Jesus to score. Sorry, but you can't then go, oh, you know, I was unlucky there. I meant to head it. It hit me on the arm, but I didn't mean to hit it on the arm. Sorry, you got to do better. And if it had hit Skip, if Skip's arm was, you know, and this game is all about margins, if Skip's arm was just in front of Laporte's and it hit him on the arm, oh my goodness, you'd be seeing a completely different thing, wouldn't you? You'd be seeing everybody go, be saying that's absolutely right. And I think people say it wouldn't have been given as a penalty because it would have accidentally hit Skip. That's rubbish. If it would have hit Skip on the arm first, everyone would have said that's a penalty, definitely. Now, people have said there was a little tug on Laporte. Well, I'm sorry, but little tugs, little pulls, this is what happens in football, and particularly on corners. We'll come on to the Lamella one in a minute. But on corners, there's little tugs, there's little pulls, there's little nudges. Sorry, that's what's going to happen. And people have said that Skip gave him a tug on the arm, and that's why his arm is out. Well, has anyone gone back before that? Because I'm sure that there was little nudges and pulls just before that as well. So look, you know, it's one of those things, but the furore around it is absolutely unbelievable. You know, the game's finished, it's been given, VAR's been looked at, and that's the end of it. But no, there's this whole debate, and then people go into different stories and this and the other. Danny Murphy went into this whole story about how he's spoken to a Man City fan and he'd taken his son for the first time and they was, you know, enjoying the game. It was fantastic. And then at the end, they were celebrating and cuddling and tears of joy and wonderful. And all of a sudden, his VAR's brought it back and it's no goal. So they had to trudge out the stadium and his son was in tears and boo-hoo. Oh, my good. Oh, you know, and it's ruining it for the fans and everything. Sorry, but what if I took my son for the first ever game to the Man City game and we're walking out the stadium going, wow, what an amazing game. You know, this is football. You can have 30 chances, and by the way, although they had 30 chances, were any of them really clear cut? I think they had lots of shots. I can't think really off the top of my head, like, yeah, that definitely should have been a goal, where it was like a one-on-one, or I know they hit the bar towards the end. That was quite a fluky one, though, wasn't it? It wasn't like a, you know, clean through and should have been a goal, or any open goals missed. So it wasn't like a you know, 30 amazing chances. Yeah, there were 30 shots. You know, that is football. I mean, how many times have we seen Spurs have between 20 and 30 chances, the other team has three, and it's 1-1, and then on Match of the Day you're watching it, and all they're banging on about is how Spurs couldn't break the other team down, and how fantastic Stoke were on that day or whatever, because they defended so well. Well, did we defend well? Well, obviously we did, because we didn't let them have any real clean-cut chances. They had 30, you know, shots on goal, but hey, did they really trouble us? Not really. I can't really think of an amazing save that Lloris made. Can you? Not really. So anyway, back to, you know, the kid that goes with the Spurs dad. You know, he's leaving the stadium going, you know, what happened there, daddy? And he's going, well, this is football. Isn't it amazing? They all come out celebrating. Oh, no, don't mention that. Only mention the Man City dad who walks out with his son. Do you know what I'd have said to him? Don't worry, son. Let's go home and watch us win the three cups that we won last year. Let's watch them all on YouTube. Or let's watch the previous year when we won it. Or I'll tell you what, let's watch the last, you know, what is it, 5 years when Man City have been absolutely fantastic. You know, not, oh, I know, son, it's so bad, isn't it? What a disgrace. Let's all, you know, go and be miserable for the evening just because, you know, VAR has decided something. For goodness sake, get a grip. My God. Right, okay. So that's that. I mean, that's my view on the decision. It hit his hand. It was unlucky. Of course it was. But these people, I mean, Hawksby and Jacobs earlier. Jacobs is going, in nobody's opinion, anybody's opinion, is that ever disallowed? Sorry, I'll tell you one more thing about it. I think if there was no VAR and the referee would have picked up on it, and say he'd have blown the whistle just before Jesus would have scored, I think all the pundits would have gone, wow, that what a great spot. What a great spot by the referee to see it hit his arm. You know, it's these little fine margins that people don't see. And Henry Winter said, football isn't football shouldn't be for people in industrial parks sitting behind TV screens. Football should be for the fans. I mean, what does that mean? What the cliche of the highest order? Absolutely no idea. Right, so let's just move on to a couple more things. We've got Poch saying it's a massive mistake to move transfer deadline day. Yeah, I mean, it is bizarre, isn't it, that all the chairmen decided for the Premier League to stop the transfers the day before the start of the season. A brilliant decision in terms of, you know, all the speculation for England. But why on earth would you choose to do that when Europe can still trade? I mean, it's bizarre. Unless... I don't know quite who voted for it, but unless it was all the teams that aren't in Europe that said, yeah, let's do that, definitely let's do that, whereas the six or seven teams in Europe said, actually, no, we are in Europe, we need to challenge, and we don't want to do that, and it just got overruled, I'm not sure, but amazing decision, really, not to say, right, well, yeah, we'll do it, because it is a good thing to do, as long as everybody else does it. I mean, it is a bit bizarre. And, you know, those Spanish clubs and big Italian clubs and Bayern Munich and that must be going, what a bunch of idiots. Why have they decided to do that? Why have they decided to stop transfers into their clubs and allow us a few more weeks? You know, European clubs must be laughing at us, you know, in amongst other political reasons as well. De Bruyne confused by the VAR handball rules. Sure, I think a lot of people seem to be confused. You know, I think it was confusing before. Intentional or unintentional is all in terms of interpretation, isn't it? It's clear cut now. If it hits your arm, it's a free kick. You know, they're saying intentional or not intentional. But, you know, I'd in fact take it a step further, just say if it hits your arm, it's a free kick or a penalty, they're the rules. You know, you do see lots and lots of defenders. I'm thinking in my head at the moment, Toby Alderweireld, if he's in a one-on-one situation, he's in the box, he tucks his hands behind his back. You see him physically do it. I think Trippier did it on many occasions as well, you know, and that's just the way it has to be. You know, if you think that's unfair, if you think that's, you know, an unnatural way to defend, well, tough luck. If the ball hits your arm, you're going to it's going to be a penalty. So Sissoko, in effect, you know, a bit of a silly thing to do, pointing in the box, you know, managers to their players, listen, guys, when you're in the box, get your hands behind your back, because it will be given as a penalty. And as long as it's the same for everybody, then that's fine. You know, you can't, just going back to the Man City game, you can't correlate the handball against Laporte with the drag down from Lamella. They're two completely separate situations. Now, if Lamella would have handballed it and it not been given, then I can see Man City's point. But the fact is that it's two completely different things. And by the way, I do think that was a penalty that Lamella gave away. But you can't say, oh, how is that given Laporte? And, you know, when Lamella's wasn't given. Well, they're two separate incidences. And the refs looked at both of them and gone, right, well, that they're separate. I don't think that one is. I think that one is. If it was two handballs, then in that case, you go, blimey, that is out of order. But look, they're two separate situations. So, you know, what can you do? And by the way, you know, I've been asked many, many times on Twitter and what have you, how will you feel if that was against you? Well, I'll tell you this much. It will be against us in the next 10 games, probably. If not, certainly by the end of the season. Spurs are the experts in scoring winning goals in the final minute. I can assure you, and I'll have a guess right now, we'll have at least 5 goals that are disallowed in the last 5 minutes, in the last few minutes, because Spurs do score in the last few seconds. So I guarantee that's what's going to happen. And I'll tell you what else is going to happen. As soon as we get a VAR decision against us, we'll have everybody going, yeah, there you go, Spurs. See how you like it? Well, sorry, but we'd have to go, yes. Well, that is the rules. Just because we've benefited twice, we've been like the only team that's benefited twice in the last, 6 months from a couple of decisions, you know, we've done very well out of it. Both, by the way, both decisions, absolutely right. Even though, the second one people are moaning about. Sorry, but they are the rules. That is the law. But I'll tell you what, Spurs have got it coming to them because it's going to happen to us. Like it will happen to Man City again. Like it will happen to all the other teams several times throughout the season. You know, and if you go back the last 20 years, how many times have Spurs begged for VAR because of the terrible decisions that have gone against us, particularly against Chelsea? You know, and I'm not going to run through all the different scenarios, ghost goals and Lampard goals, Mendes goals and all that. So VAR, is a good thing in terms of the fact that these goals do get overruled. It's a bad thing, of course, and I absolutely 100% agree, and it's actually pinned on my Twitter, that VAR takes away the euphoria of scoring that winning goal, which ultimately is, and I'm going to go back against everything I've said or what you interpret, is that ultimately I think VAR is a bad thing because that euphoria is lost, and it will be lost over time. If VAR stays in, fans will be celebrating a goal half-heartedly because they'll think actually this might be ruled out. Look, that is the case. But you've got to take these incidences specifically. You can't just generalise. So be specific on these points, and that's what you've got to do. You can't just generalise on maybe this, maybe that. Be specific. Moving on, just looking through some of the other things that have been talked about. Poch saying trophyless year is unsuccessful to him. It's very important that we highlight what the priorities are for the season. Of course, the number one thing we want to do is win the league or Champions League. Probably I'd say above everything, yeah, it is Champions League, isn't it? It is Champions League. But winning the league would be probably just about up there at the moment, I would say. Next to that, you've got winning, if you drop down to Europa and the League Cup and the FA Cup, and then you've got top four. And I've said this many times, but the priority is for in terms of the future of your football club is to finish in the top four. You can win the League Cup, you can win the FA Cup, you won't, and if you don't finish in the top four, players will want to leave and you won't get the calibre of player coming in, possibly. I mean, I think that that there are exceptions to the rule, but that's generally what will happen. I think it is vitally important that we finish in the top four this year, especially with what's going on with Chelsea not being able to buy players, and Arsenal, I think, are a shambles in terms of them at the back. I mean, they've got a couple of results so far, but my goodness, if Newcastle and Burnley only could finish their chances, I think that's two losses. They've been very, very lucky in those games. Saying that, they've got fantastic strikers and a decent goalkeeper. So, as long as they're all right there, that's fine. The midfielder, by the way, Ceballos, I think he's fantastic. They've got him on a year's loan. I can't really see a downside. And a question for you guys, tweet me or whatever, is this. They say they haven't got an option to buy at the end. But what is an option to buy? Surely, an option to buy is that they can buy him, right? But they can't have him on a free. They've got to actually put a bid in. So what's the difference between an option to buy, as in putting a bid in, and then or him going back to Real Madrid at the end of the season and then putting a bid in then? Surely it's the same thing, isn't it? If there's an option to buy, you say, okay, we'd like to buy him for 50 million. And Real Madrid say, no, he's 60. or he goes back with no option to buy, and you say, right, you know, he's gone back to you, we've got no option to buy, but hey, would you like 50 million? And they say, no, it's 60. I don't understand the difference between option to buy and no option to buy. So for Spurs fans to sort of cling on to that in a way to say, hey, wait there, he wants to go back to Real Madrid at the end. Listen, in a year's time, he might have fallen in love with Arsenal. You never know. At the moment, to me, he was the best player on the pitch watching that game. You know, apart from that, I don't think Arsenal have got anything. Anyway, so moving on, I just think that we've got these games coming up. Obviously, Newcastle. Are we going to see Lo Celso play? Yes, I mean, hopefully, you know, we want to see what he's all about. I don't remember him really touching the ball against Man City. So, you know, we'd like to see him. And we need to get into a bit of rotation, I guess. Lamella scored a great goal. Do you know what I think? It's been really underplayed. Lamella's vision for that goal, I think, was absolutely fantastic. And that's what Lamella is good at. Lamella can look awful. He really can. But when you look, his highlight reel is terrific because he scored some terrific goals. But his passes are, you know, he kind of stands a bit crooked. I don't know what he's like as a guy, but I bet he's random as hell. I bet in conversation he's like off the wall. And I think he just looked up and he saw a little gap and he went for it. And I think that is a little touch of genius, personally. I don't think many people would have tried that shot on. But he saw a space. He's kind of hiding behind the Man City defender. And he saw a space and curled it in. Absolutely fantastic goal. Going back to this trophy list thing. I can think 5 years ago, 10 years ago even. People, not 10 years, because that's when we won our last trophy. But people saying... if we don't win anything this year, no, we need to win something. You know, my answer to that is, or what? What if we don't win a trophy? What's going to happen? Because the thing is, if we win the League Cup and we don't finish top four, then I'll tell you what's going to happen. Harry Kane, without a shadow of a doubt, if he gets an offer from Man City or Real Madrid, will go, thanks guys, I've won a trophy now at my beloved Spurs. I'll be back. But I'm 20, what is he, 25, 26. I'm going to go to Real Madrid. I'm going to go to Man City. They've put a bid in for me. It's been accepted. I love my Spurs, but I need to go and win some trophies now. Spurs finished fifth. I've got a trophy. I've got a medal. Sorry, guys, but I'm off. Or will he look at that and go, okay, I'm in the top four again, you know, and go from there? I don't know. But I'm just thinking... If we don't win a trophy this year, it's not the end of the world. If we don't finish top four this year, massive problems. For the fans, of course, we would love to celebrate winning a trophy. I don't think it'll shut people up. Arsenal won 3 on the bounce, didn't they? And by the way, how long are they going to go on banging on about it? Because what was the last one? 2 years ago? 3 years ago? So were they just going to constantly go trophy-less Spurs until we win one? And then, I don't know, what is it, 5 or 6 years down the line, they haven't won one, we haven't won one, but they still bang on about it, even though they're in Europa, I'm not sure. But look, you know, the thing is, when you finish top four, what that means is that week in, week out, you've seen your team win. If you win the League Cup... You've basically, and you finish fifth or sixth, you've basically seen your team week in, week out do all right, and you've seen a few good cup games and a cup final. But you've also seen other teams overtake you in the league. So, I don't know, I've really enjoyed these last few years. Week in, week out, I've sort of, you know, Monday morning gone into work and been really happy because we've won at the weekend. Whereas back in the day when we used to win, you know, League Cups, most Mondays I'd be in miserable. Looking forward to the Wednesday fixture, because that was the cup game, but that was only sort of, you know, every 4 weeks or whatever. And, you know, winning a trophy was lovely. But then you see the team peter out at the end of the season, and most of the people wanted to leave. Robbie Keane, Berbatov, all wanting to leave. Sol Campbell, of course, going back to the other League Cup we won, just wanting to leave because they're not in the Champions League. So, you know, it's got to be said by more people, not just me, for goodness sake, that finishing top four is the third priority. It goes Champions League, Premier League, and then top four. They are the three priorities. FA Cup, League Cup, Europa League. They are that is the priority for me. That's how I think it should be. Eriksen, still in Poch's plans. You know, he came on, obviously, against Villa and changed the game. Was fantastic. Not so brilliant yesterday against Man City. Want him to stay, love him to stay. Haven't heard any rumours about any bids or anything. So I think he's staying. And, you know, he can pull the rubber out of the bag. You know, brilliant. Hopefully with a little bit more competition, Lo Celso and what have you, keeping Lamela fit, then there'll be a bit of rotation. And these guys, I think down the line, there's six of them basically competing for three spots, will start up in their game. Hopefully they will, because they now know that they've got competition. Ndombele, funny, first 45 minutes against Villa, absolutely awful, then came into his own, and just after he scored, he'd done a few little neat little tricks, which I really liked. Against City, after the game, thought, what did he do? Absolutely awful. I've seen a highlight reel of about 2 minutes of him and all the touches and everything he did. I didn't realise. Brilliant. I'll tell you what, we've got a player there. We have got a player. Two games in, he was really, really good. When Winks came off, I thought to myself, that's the wrong decision. I thought, wait there, he's doing that because of money. He's bringing off Winks, who was quite comfortable, because I thought Ndombele wasn't that good. But actually, looking back on it, I thought Ndombele was really, really good. So I think we've got a player there. Just a couple more things. Charlie Nicholas is now doing the Sky Sports predictions. So obviously, we've had what, 4 or 5 years of Paul Merson every single week in, week out. Chelsea nailed on winners. Arsenal nailed on winners. Spurs are going to struggle. And now we've got Charlie Nicholas. And looking at the first two predictions of his, absolutely 100% worse. Just this week, Arsenal win 4-1, no problem. You know, they barely scraped a 2-1. And like I say, if Burnley would have put a couple of their chances away that they had, it wouldn't have been that score. And Spurs, you know, no problem for City, 4-1. Well, it was 2-2. So we've got a whole year of this, presumably. We've got a whole year of Charlie Nicholas predicting the results. And, you know, Sky, what are you doing? Get someone who is impartial, please. Because we have Paul Merson, Chelsea fan, Arsenal player, and now we've got Charlie Nicholas. Brilliant. Right, okay. That's about it, really, to be honest with you. Looking forward to the Newcastle game. I think that we'll do a little bit of rotation. You know, Newcastle don't look good, but they always look good against us, don't they? I think they do. So they're going to come to White Hart Lane. I won't be there, unfortunately. I'll be going to the first game on the 14th of September. I have to wait ages. Damn, those fixtures. Didn't sort out my holiday arrangements, but there we go. I'm going to be on the eSpurs podcast later on. Looking forward to that. Listen, guys, on Twitter, please tweet me if you follow me and I haven't followed you back. Just give me a little tweet. Just say, hey, you know, follow me. That's not a problem. You know, sometimes you get someone following you and you don't press the button, or you accidentally unfollow someone. Not a problem. I will always try and endeavour to get back to people who get in touch with me. You know, not a problem. I am very, very sarcastic. So don't take things the wrong way. Often I'll get into a bit of a debate. It'll be a bit heated at the start, but at the end of the day, it's fine. You know, Hazspur is somebody that likes to flick people's switches. I've met the guy a couple of times, perfectly nice guy. His, you know, opinions about Spurs are incredibly negative. He'll tell you that himself. But as a person, he's absolutely lovely. No problem at all. Other guys on there who get the hump because I call them out, you know, sometimes mentioning their name, sometimes not. You know, I'm just having a laugh, you know, I'm just trying to be fun and keep it friendly. You know, I'm a 43-year-old bloke who's not interested whatsoever in having beef with anybody, just having a laugh, you know. And if I call you out, it's just because we're having a bit of a joke. And, you know, if you want to come back to me, not a problem, but we're all Spurs mates, aren't we? So anyway, guys, lovely to have a chat. Let's, you know, win the next game against Newcastle. And then, of course, it's the Arsenal away. Hopefully, be doing a podcast before that. Listen, guys, just one final thing. Obviously, you know, if you want to be on the show, by the way, give us a little tweet, let me know, and we'll see what we can do. I just did this off the cuff. I'll try and do some more through the year. It's a bloke talking about Spurs. If you don't like it, not a problem. Don't tweet me, don't say I don't like that, just don't listen. It's not a problem, really, it isn't. I can get some good guests on. Had a good chat with Kenny Dalglish last week. No interest in coming on the show, of course. I think that's what he said anyway. You know, I can get some good guys. Mike England's a good friend. You know, we'll see how we get on, maybe build up the listenership for what we had back in the day. But look, we're, I think, the third podcast ever. There was the Spurs show, I think was the first one. The second one was the Tottenham Football Fancast. We were the third, and a week after us came the Fighting Cock, which is obviously, you know, everyone loves the Fighting Cock, brilliant podcast. Ricky and the boys, Flav and the boys, brilliant stuff. But look, if you do a podcast and you listen to this, keep going. If you have a podcast that I haven't listened to, or you think I haven't listened to it, let me know, because I try and listen to them all. And I love them all. And, you know, I'm rambling now, but hey, that's what I do. If you don't like it, not a problem, just you don't have to listen. But if you like your Spurs, you like someone's opinion, then give us a listen. If not, don't worry. Okay, see you later. Come on, you Spurs.